There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money. Yeah, we are live in downtown Las Vegas here on a Tuesday morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful and safe 4th of July holiday last night. I know that the fireworks are going off early in the morning here still in Las Vegas. Coming up on today's program, Matt Youmans in 45 minutes, some college football totals that he likes this year with regular season wins and some golf bets for this week. And Brad Powers in 90 minutes. We'll have him for two segments today, Paulie, professional sports bettor. And he has made nearly 200 bets so far in college football this year. I think I've made three.
He's an animal. Oh my God. Games of the year, win totals. Heisman, gallivanting all around the globe. It's incredible. Yep.
Conference win totals.
Yes.
All the regular season win totals. Sure, all of it. Yesterday's action did begin bright and early out here on the West Coast. Of course, around 9 a.m. is when they do the whole lead-in and the hype train for the annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And, you know, Joey Chestnut took down the championship yet again, only 863. There was some controversy as he had to put a chokehold on a protester yesterday, and I don't know how much that threw him off of his game. He only finished with 63, and as a result, a lot of this now, a lot of the bets were impacted because of what took place yesterday, right? So,
yep.
First of all, you could find, and people did, thank you for the tweets yesterday, people were betting under 65 based on what they heard from him on this show at 50-1.
Yeah.
And that cashed.
Yep. He was hurting too, he said afterwards. Yep.
Oh, you could tell the look on his face.
Yep. He said he was in a lot of pain. Damn. Yep, good job by the people who cashed those big tickets. The other one, congrats to all the books that refunded. That was the, I don't know where security is, how the guy with the Darth Vader mask gets up there. But that, who knows, what that could have got out of control. Because he's trying to get the person in a chokehold. The table could go flying. Hot dogs could go everywhere. What are you going to do, stop the count?
I mean, you could tell how tiny that person was next to Chestnut. I mean, Chestnut, it looks like this highlighter. He puts him in the rear naked choke like
this.
You
don't know what's going to happen.
And someone comes on. He just chucks him like that. Yeah. He could have snapped the guy's neck in 2 seconds.
Well, Darth Vader deserved it, too. I mean, you don't know what's going on.
Of course he did.
I mean, all of a sudden, a person comes right next up to you, and you don't know what to make.
I'd do the same exact thing if I was Joey Joss.
Yeah,
100% if I could do that. I put him right in the choke hold, get out of here. And then, look, I mean, I don't know exactly how the TV contract works for ESPN, but I'm pretty sure based on what happened yesterday, they only can like air it for an hour and they have to move on. And I don't know why cornhole is that important, but when they had, when it was done and they went to the postgame interview, they had an opportunity to talk to him for like maybe 20 seconds, the way it felt. And they could not get a question about, hey, how much were you impacted by the protester? Because I know people are going to say, well, it never really threw, it only took 2 seconds. Well, when you think about it for a second here, folks, it took like, really 5 seconds to put him in the chokehold, throw him away, then get back and gather himself. But how long mentally did that throw him for a loop as well? Now, I'm not saying that he was going to go over 74.5. That wasn't going to happen. But does he hit like 67, 68? I think that probably cost him like a good 5 hot dogs.
Could have been. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, possible. Right, it's more of a karma thing, too. I think karma committee doing it. And just, good move by the books, Goodwill doing it as well.
So they paid out the underbets.
Yeah.
And they refunded all the bets that came in on the over.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really... Could
have wrecked the whole thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what happens. A person goes flying or whatever. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
So some of the stuff that I saw globally, probably about 90 minutes before the event started, and we talked about this yesterday, is offer like every number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Offer alternate hot dogs eaten by Chestnut. And I saw it all the way up to 78.5. The over was plus 11.15. And the stuff that I noticed was all the way down to 72.5. If you wanted to go under, it was plus 290. Under 73.5 was plus 205. But like I said, other books from people grabbing screen grabs and sending them to us on Twitter were suggesting you could bet under all of it to like 65, where they were then offering 50-1, like I said. So the people
That's
who
excellent.
Recognized that. And by the way, those bets were coming in after the information came out on the ladies' draw because every single ladies' competitor went under.
How about that?
And so you knew that the conditions were not great at all for this event yesterday. And so they're like, let me keep betting as much on the under as I possibly can.
Yep. You want to find out how popular we are? Can you tell the ladies' story? You're not going to ruin it. It's once a year. It's so good. I did it before with the Grammys.
Okay.
No one got mad at me. This is huge.
Okay. This is what I noticed yesterday. When the reports came in that Miki Sudo 840. And that she won the event again. I'm looking around at a couple different spots. The ladies' draw is still posted. You could bet her at minus 3,000. It's free money, right? And it was up for probably a half an hour after the event. So it's not live. Like, that one is taped earlier in the day, and books are not aware of this.
And the total?
And a professional bettor told me yesterday, we got to be careful about telling people that it's live. He did this, and a book kicked him out years ago when he... Tried to take advantage of it.
Yeah, but how far behind are they?
That I don't know. That I don't have an answer for.
That is wild.
He was past posting on the event.
Right. We've seen this at like Grammys and stuff where it's already decided and they keep it up and they give the stuff out before. Right?
Yeah.
Grammys, Oscars, whatever. But this is...
I noticed that yesterday too. I'm like, wait a second here. My entire Twitter timeline right now is filled with Sudo had 40 and she defended her champ. Why can't I still bet it then? So it's behind a little bit. And I don't know how long it is.
Incredible. Yep. That's wild. That's a good question. How early do they go? Huge information. But then again, we'll talk to you next July 4th. See how many people remember that. The other thing is it's from a competitive standpoint and a betting standpoint, they don't have competition. They're not being pushed. I mean, who's going to come close to them? 15, 20 hot dog lead when you look at this. So it's like, the only thing you're doing for motivation is, you're going to win, and can you break your own record? And sometimes if you're not feeling, you're just going to coast and say, okay, I'm going to take my prize money, I'm going to win again, and I'll talk to you next year.
Did you ever see Chestnut look like that after this event?
Yeah.
He looked like he was in awful shape yesterday. And I think a lot of that obviously contributed, the leg injury.
Mm-hmm.
He told us on the air that he, reactivated or had a recurring injury, I guess, after the surgery back in December, and that's why he was going to be in a cast. He was still able to stand up for the event, though, yesterday, and he went from, he was climbing into the mid-70s for years now, and he dropped all the way down to 63. Again, I do think the protester knocked him off by at least a couple of hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think of some of the other competitors?
Well, they did a pretty good job, to get where they did. I mean, they're not close to this guy, but for Esper to get to he was under 47.5. I think he, what, finished with 47 was the number on him. Didn't one other person whack down 50 or 51?
Was it Weary? Mickey's husband? I don't know.
Okay.
I thought that, I don't know what he, I think he was right in that ballpark too.
Yeah, some of the other stuff that I noticed yesterday that does not get enough recognition because they were, you know, running down the resumes of all the other contestants. And here comes a guy named Patrick Bertoletti, who took a decade off from this hot dog contest, right? And they're putting up some of his previous records. I had to take a picture of the TV because I'm like, there's no way that's accurate. And I looked it up on Wikipedia after. And in 2011, he won the Feel the Heat Jalapeno Eating Championship by setting a world record of 275 pickled jalapenos, Paulie, in 8 minutes. The human body is not built to have somebody eat 275 pickled jalapenos in 8 minutes. What would your body be like after that?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I love hot food, but I think if I eat too much of it, it kills me.
Yep. They weren't born. They were hatched. How about the milk? I thought you couldn't do that either, where there's going to be a reversal.
Right.
Come right up with the milk.
Remember, Brad Penny did this. The former Marlins pitcher.
Got in trouble.
Got in trouble for like having bets out there with, what was it, like a bat boy?
Yep.
Where he said, I don't think you can do a gallon of milk in an hour. And that's like the old, I guess, urban legend is that your body is not, you can't take a gallon of milk in an hour. But he drank 2.5 gallons in 60 minutes. And then the oysters, too. Same year, 2011, he had 39 dozen oysters in 8 minutes. 468 overall. Can you do oysters?
I don't like them. No, absolutely not.
No, I'm a hard pass on that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know how much it would take for somebody to offer me like, look, as many as you can eat in 8 minutes.
I don't know. Once you get into this stuff, it's right. How can the body take it? How can the body do it? It's like, I mean, she's a small girl. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. She did 2 gallons of ice cream in 6 minutes. Chestnut had 25 ice cream sandwiches in 8 minutes, whatever.
I don't know how your brain's not like.
I know. And then just try to think about what you like the most or what you could whack down. You've always, you know, talked a big game about grilled nuggets.
Grilled nuggets, yeah.
At Chick-fil-A. I mean, but how many, it's incredible. Just, I also want to get into the fascinating part about this is the training. And Joey got into the training and the fasting and then other stuff that he does to get the body ready. But he just, I think, what is it, 20,000 calories or something they're putting down?
Yeah.
The great article on ESPN.com where the husband and wife are training and they go to Costco and it's $80.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get the conditions right and they have everything set up and they're doing this. And every time they go to the cashier, barbecue, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, right. These are going to be done in 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to eat. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think one person whacked down when I was doing a search yesterday, 49 pieces of pizza in 8 minutes. How does your how can your jaw chew that fast and not get worn out? Because you got to eat the crust. You're not going to eat just like the very front of the slice and then leave the back end of the crust and throw it in the garbage. You got to eat all of it. You're chewing nonstop that much for 8 minutes and just piece after piece after piece.
Unless there's significant reversal afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take probably a week to recover from.
And here's one more thing. Like, I love pizza as much as anybody. What does it taste like?
Oh, sure.
What does that taste in your mouth like after 10 pieces in 2 minutes?
Yes.
It's going to be horrible, isn't it?
That's a good point. Done that before. You're not tasting anything anymore.
Yeah, the same thing with the hot dogs. I don't know how they can stand the taste of it after that long.
Yeah.
Oh,
good observation. Boy. Good observation.
The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. We'll recap the betting action from yesterday with Win Some, Lose Some, another ridiculous emotional support animal at an airport, and wait until you hear what happened at the World Series of Poker. I have one word. How? Details and all that coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callsheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callsheet.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Follow the Money. Mitch and Paul live. Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas. He is the host of The Edge, weekdays at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, right here on VSiN, and the senior editor at VSiN.com. He is Matt Eumanns. Matty Ice, as always, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Some sad news yesterday. Hammer and Hank Goldberg passed away at the age of 82, lived out here in Las Vegas, and yesterday, July 4th, was in fact his 82nd birthday. How well did you get to know the Hammer over the years?
You know, Mitch, it was a sad day, but I will say this. For Hank, I was happy for him because he suffered a lot physically in the last, the last year of his life. Really, he had a kidney disease, and I think that he knew that his days were numbered towards the end, and he was trying to keep a positive attitude. And sometimes when you're in that much pain physically, you're okay to be at the end of the line. And Hank Goldberg moved here to Vegas about 2 years ago. I'm going to say two and a half years ago. It was great to have him here for the last couple years of his life. And one thing I'll say about Hank is, hey, respect the guys who came before you in this business, because I had Hank on VSiN several times over the past 2 years. And yeah, he wasn't as sharp as he was earlier in his career. And some guys at VSiN kind of mocked his appearances. And, okay, whatever. The thing is, he's an old school handicapper. He did it based on information, but he had good instincts. And Hank, if you don't have good instincts as a handicapper, you have no chance. And Hank did have good instincts, but most of his plays were based on information. And he's an old school guy. And even in late in life, even in his last couple of years, he put up great records in the NFL in handicapping the sport. So he was an old dog, but he adjusted to the sport. And I have a lot of respect for the guy. He was born on the 4th of July. He died on July 4th. And I'm just glad we had a chance to spend a couple of years with him out here in Vegas the last 2 years.
Good job. Yep. Well said, Matt. Moving on to a couple football plays, a couple totals. Brad Powers coming up in about half an hour. You've mentioned Alabama over here on this show. How about a couple other college football totals you played?
Yeah, Alabama over, but see, that play is based on the number. You got to play that over 10.5. And right now at DraftKings, the price has gone up to -240, but we talked about that before. I would not play Alabama over 11.5. I would play it over 10.5. Here's the thing. I talked to Brad Powers about this a little bit, too. I like LSU over 6.5 at -125. That's at DraftKings. That's at Circa Sports right now. It's Circa. LSU over 6.5, -125. And the key to this is Brian Kelly is a guy, when he's got better players, he doesn't lose games he's supposed to win. And if you go back to at Notre Dame from 2018 to 2021, Brian Kelly and the Fighting Irish, 40-1 straight up as the betting favorites. And if you look at LSU in the opening month of the season, Florida State in New Orleans, that's essentially a home game for the Tigers. Southern, Mississippi State, and New Mexico, also home games in Baton Rouge. This LSU team could be 4-0 in September. A 3-1 record still would be acceptable in terms of trying to get over that 6.5. But Kelly's also got three quarterbacks who are experienced. Miles Brennan, Garrett Nussmeier, and Jaden Daniels, transfer from Arizona State. So Brian Kelly, who's a very good quarterback coach, is going to have a guy who can pull the trigger on his pro-style offense. He's also got Kayshawn Boutte, who's one of the nation's most explosive wide receivers. He's recruited well. They've actually hit the transfer portal, had a lot of success. I think LSU over 6.5 is a pretty good bet based on the schedule, and Brian Kelly has got a chance to overachieve with this team.
Okay. Where are you at with Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. Under 9.5. I talked to Chris the Bear Palika from ESPN on this one, and the Bear kind of pushed me over the edge on this. I was leaning Oklahoma under, and he convinced me this is the right play to make. I know Dylan Gabriel, the transfer from USC, is going to be the quarterback, but hey, this is not Lincoln Riley. This is not the old Oklahoma offense. So Lincoln Riley was a very good play caller. We don't know what you're going to get with this new look Oklahoma offense. Marvin Mims is a great wide receiver. They've got a lot of talented running backs. I think they're going to put up numbers. But if you look at the Oklahoma schedule, it's going to be tough. There are no pushover opponents in the Big 12. Aside from Texas on a neutral, the Sooners play road games against Nebraska, TCU, Iowa State, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. The home games are Kansas State, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. I think a 10-win season is way too much to ask of this Oklahoma team. We don't know what Brent Venables is going to be as a first-time head coach. Under 9.5 looks like a strong play here on Oklahoma, even at -120.
Okay. How are you sizing up the Scottish Open this week and firing on which golfers, Matt, for the event?
Okay, I'll give you a couple takes here on golf because Tiger Woods, obviously, is playing in the Pro-Am this week. And you guys are going to hear a lot of negative stuff about Tiger and how he looks old, he's limping around, it's cold. And I understand that this week. But I would say buy on bad news here. This is what I'm going to do with Tiger next week in the British Open. I talked with Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Superbook, and he's going to make Tiger +120 to make the cut, he says, as of right now, +120 to make the cut at the British. Mm. Okay, so next week at St. Andrews, Tiger's going to show up, and I think he's going to be competitive. This is his favorite. He said this many times. This is his favorite course in the world. He's had 2 months off since that pitiful weekend he had at the PGA when he was limping around. He looked like an old man. Hey, I'm not going to argue with anybody who thinks that Tiger can't contend to win here, because I don't think he can either. Don't bet Tiger to win. Bet Tiger to make the cut. If you're pro Tiger Woods, don't donate money on the futures board on him to win at 80-1 or 100-1. Bet him to make the cut next week at plus money on his favorite course in the world. Iron play is going to be very important. The driver he can leave in his bag most of the time. It's not going to be a hilly course. That's going to take a toll on him physically. This is a course where Tiger can make the cut. By the way, this week, at the Scottish Open, I haven't finished my handicapping in this event yet, but I'm going to say play Bobby Mack. I know this is one of Jeff Davis at Circus Sports. It's one of his favorite players. Robert McIntyre, the highest ranked Scottish player in the field, 85-1 this week at Circus Sports. I think he's a pretty good bet in the Scottish Open. So let's go Bobby Mack this week and Tiger Woods to make the cut in the British next week.
Okay. To go along with LSU over 6.5 and Oklahoma under 9.5, two more official college football plays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very
That's
good.
It. That's
awesome.
It, buddy.
All right,
and,
Matt.
I'll see you guys at Portillo's this weekend.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Okay,
can't wait. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
man.
He's on Twitter at MattHumans247.
Been too long.
So his annual fast food rankings are coming out.
Yes.
And he is, I think, probably like the number one authority in this country to write something like this.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, okay.
With a new number one. He already teased it.
I think I know who it's going to be, and I have no inside knowledge of this. If I could bet on it, I'd bet two spots.
Shake Shack?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
I would bet on
Shake
Shack.
That is a tasty burger.
Oh, unbelievable,
mama.
Man.
Yep.
I also think it actually, can I go with the Quinella?
Sure.
I think it's going to be Shake Shack and Portillo's. 1-2. And we've never been. And so this show is on marquee in Chicago, and people are always like, how have you never been to Portillo's? There's not one out here, sorry. But we're going to cross it off the old list this weekend.
I'm going to drive 8 hours for a burger?
Yeah.
That'd be a good Italian beef, I hope, which it's live up to the hype.
Oh, I made a comment yesterday.
I'm not driving 8 hours.
Yeah, I made a comment yesterday.
I won't drive half an hour for the A&W.
How the Italian beef feels like it's going to be under the radar. People are saying, Mitch, it's not under the radar. It's the best sandwich you can find, like at any fast food spot.
Getting that, getting the crinkle fries, getting the...
hot dog?
Yep. Drag it through the garden. Getting the cheesecake malt shake. Probably try a chicken sandwich.
This is an In-N-Out job, folks. We are, no joke, we are flying to L.A. So how far would you travel for food? We're flying to L.A., having Portillo's and coming back.
Yes.
That's the day on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's,
like, are they going to give us bleep at the airport? Where are you going? I'm not going to have any bags other than that.
Oh, no.
I'll bring
no.
a carry-on turkey, maybe.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
That's, I mean, right? I'm just going to show up. I'm not going to have anything on me. I'm going in, I'm going out.
I'm
going to
bring my goldfish and have it around my
sure.
neck in a bowl, yeah.
Right. I'm sure it happens all the time. I get a business lunch. What is it?
Of course.
What do you make of it? What do you care?
Right. No bag? Like Larry David would make a big stink out of this. Where are you going? No bag? I'm calling BS on this.
Uh-huh.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Log in and get a 20% profit boost of Major League Baseball bets every single Tuesday. Must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details. And rules, we will begin the next hour with the NFL. This team hasn't gone over the win total in 5 years, yet they're the biggest Super Bowl liability at several books across the country. That's coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
To say our next guest has been very active betting college football during the summer and going back now probably a good couple of months would be an understatement. Brad Powers, professional sports bettor, kind enough now to join us to talk some college football here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Brad. Would that be accurate to say that, you know, you've been making a couple of moves here and there over the past couple of weeks or months in college football?
First off, good morning, gentlemen. It's good to hear your guys' voices. I know football season is getting close. Yeah, I mean, I've been active, more active than any other season prior as far in my betting career. I mean, I'm up to 240 bets already in college football.
Oh, my God. Wow. Added more stuff. Okay, excellent.
I know it was in your newsletter. Can you say how much money you're in so far with betting?
$126,009 is my current stake right now. It'll obviously go up as more as we get closer, but yeah, I mean, it's not like out of those 240 bets, not like I was getting 2, 3, 4, 5 dimes on them. I mean, mainly nickels. I mean, some cases I stepped out and bet a couple dimes, but this is by far the most I've had at risk at this point. In early July than ever before. And let me say this, it wasn't necessarily planned to be that way. It's just the market has been extremely soft because I think there's been this, race among the sports books because they're highly competitive. This race to be first, and on top of, you know, releasing earlier and earlier with each and every season, there's also more and more uncertainty in the market with regards to the transfer portal. So I just see a lot more mispricing than what I did, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Right. And you found a lot of that usually this year and in the past with games of the year. But now you're seeing that with win totals, and you're seeing it with conference-only win totals and some futures as well. So there's so much added things that are offered, too, that you're finding differences in numbers.
Yeah, I mean, with regard to a lot of these season win totals, I mean, you don't have to be Elon Musk to figure some of this stuff out. I mean, every single team, I would say you'll be able, if you just shop a little bit, you'll be able to find at least a half win. I would say out of the 131 FBS teams, mm-hmm. If you shopped hard, and this is, you know, a couple weeks ago at the time before the market started, you know, guys like myself were picking some of these outlier lines out, but I mean, you would find at least a game difference. I'm talking half the teams of college football. One book will have, you know, an over-under 6. Another book I'll have 5. So, I mean, again, there was teams that I didn't expect to have any position on. I mean, just one book out there took a position, or they just didn't know how to hang the correct number, and therefore I got a position now on that team.
Let's start with your power ratings and the haves and the have-nots. Run through your top 10 power ratings as you see it.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, no surprise, Alabama number one in the country, followed by Ohio State 2. I would be very surprised if that's not the national title game. I just think those two teams are the best. You know, Georgia's right there as far as the power rating. They're clearly ahead of the 4 team that I have, and right now it's Michigan and Clemson are 4 and 5. They're only decimal points apart. They're clearly a top 3 teams, and then there's about a touchdown gap to 4 and 5. Rounding out the top 10, A&M, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Utah, and Wisconsin. I think a lot of people would be surprised Wisconsin, but, you know, statistically speaking, the Badgers were very strong last year. They just didn't get it done in the win-loss column.
Okay, so the gap here, once we get outside the big 3 or 4, you have Notre Dame 7th, as you mentioned, and Ohio State 2nd. They play each other, and you put a dime on Ohio State and you lay double digits? There's that big of a gap?
Yeah, certainly. And that shouldn't be a huge surprise to people. I mean, look at these college football playoff semifinals.
Yeah.
We're talking double-digit point spreads. It's just, you know, the top 2-3 teams in the country, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, and the Georgias of the world, have clearly separated themselves, even among the teams that are really good and the programs that are really good, like the Michigans and Notre Dames. And Oklahoma. So I laid 10.5. It's up to 14.5. And I'm here to tell you guys, I would still lean a 14.5 with the Buckeyes in week one.
Wow.
Okay. How about some conference futures that you bet maybe this week for numbers that might, or in the last like 6-7 days, numbers that might still be available or close? For example, you bet Clemson plus 140 this week here at Circa to win the ACC. I'm seeing that's like minus 130 at some other spots. So, like, what would you bet it at still right now if it was on the board?
Yeah, so I think Clemson, obviously making that plus 140 bet, I think there's a greater than 50% chance that Clemson wins the ACC. In fact, I'd probably put it in the 65% range. So anything at minus 150 or lower, I think is worth probably tying up your money for a little bit. It's not a significant bet, but I was really interested in that plus number on Clemson to win the ACC. I think that the big thing that Clemson's getting mispriced this year, guys, is their defensive front 7 is as good as what they had in 2018. If you follow college football, that 2018 unit is regarded as one of the best defensive fronts in the history of college football. So keep that in mind with Clemson this year. They are going to be really, really good up front, something that I don't think the market's grasping right now.
What's a good price on NC State to win the ACC, and you have them a top 15 team?
Yeah, so I mean, I did as good as I think Clemson is. I think NC State's clearly, you know, right there, second best team in the ACC. Miami is right there as well. So I bet NC State 12-1 to win the ACC. You know, keep in mind they got to go to Clemson, and Clemson has revenge in that game, so that's not ideal. But with that being said, I mean, I have NC State favored in 11 of their 12 games. So, I mean, it's a legitimate team. I like their quarterback, Devin Leary. You can get anything, I would say, 8-1, 10-1, or greater. I think that's worth a, you know, a pizza bet there on the Wolfpack.
How do you think Crystal Ball will do with Miami?
You know, I'm buying Miami. I'm buying Miami not only short-term but also long-term. You call recruiting, Miami's on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also short-term, I mean, I like Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback. I thought they were better than their record indicated a year ago. I'll say this. You know, Manny Diaz probably got the short end of the stick when it comes to they got rid of him when I thought the team competed quite nicely down the stretch. I really like, the talent that he inherited. I think they're the best team in that division this year. They host Pitt at the end. I think Miami's very capable of getting an ACC championship game. That's one of the reasons why I bet them 7-1 to win the ACC.
Very strong. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers, our guest. So I'm looking right now at Circa, available in a few states across the country. Clemson is plus 135 still to win the ACC, so that's probably the best number that you're going to find out there on that team. Who do you have as the best team in the Big 12 this year, and who did you bet to win that conference?
I got Oklahoma, and I know there's some uncertainty there with Venables coming over, but I like the staff that he hired there. I like Lebby, his offensive coordinator, and that was the major hire there with a guy being a first-time head coach. You know, what was his philosophy going to be on the other side of the ball as far as offense goes? So I like that with Oklahoma, and from a pure talent aspect, I still think they're the best team in the Big 12. So, again, at Circa, plus 225, I went ahead and bet Oklahoma. Now, I also thought Oklahoma State, that a team that was one inch away from winning the Big 12 a year ago, I thought they were worth a flyer at Circa at plus 770. But there's, in my opinion, there's four teams that can win it, and there's not a big gap between the four. It's Oklahoma State, Baylor, and Texas this year, and I bet two of the four.
You have them in the top 10, as you mentioned. You bet Utah to win the Pac-12 at 4-1. Tell us about Utah and also where you have USC ranked and what's realistic in Lincoln Riley's first season.
So I think one of the major conferences, one of the biggest mispricings is the Pac-12. Number one, I think Utah's being undervalued. So I went ahead and bet Utah 4-1 to win the Pac-12. I think anything above 2-1 is worth a bet. I think Utah clearly is the best team in that conference. So, I mean, I would favor them by 3-4 points on a neutral even, over the likes of Oregon and USC. And when I talk about mispricing, it's mainly because of all the love that USC is getting in the marketplace, at least the futures markets. USC is a team that's being priced as a top 10 team, borderline top 5 team. So I just don't see that. I think, and look, it's not like I'm down on their team. I think USC is the most improved team in the country this year. Mm. But with that being said, I also think they're the most overrated team right now in the futures market. So I took USC under 9.5 wins. I love Utah over 8.5 wins in that one. I still think if you really shop hard, you can easily find that USC number, and the Utah number is also available. And, it coincides with the Pac-12 there. I think Utah should be the favorite to win the conference, and you're going to give me 4-1. Heck yeah, I love the Utes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you can be the most improved team in the country, but you can still be overrated, and that can happen when it, is a program like the one in Southern California.
Yeah, so I mean, I would favor this year's USC team by like 10 or so over last year's team,
yeah.
So a double-digit favorite. I would say in some markets now, I mean, Chris Andrews was pretty low on USC. I ended up betting on USC in a bunch of those Game of the Year lines, so that just goes to show you. I mean, I got positions on and against a lot of these teams this year. But I would say the market's treating USC like they've upgraded their power rating maybe 17 points.
Oh, boy.
That's a tremendous amount of upgrade in one season.
Brad, hang tight. One more segment. Bigger picture stuff this year. Heisman and national title bets coming up next.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page update every 10 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Betting splits, another way we're here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Another go-around with Brad Powers, BradPowersSports.com, and now doing some work with Covers.com, which we'll mention in a second. Tell us about your travel, and how many times did you go cross-country? How many trips did you make to Arizona with all these over 200 bets you've made so far in the college season?
So, yeah, I mean, people thinking, you know, Vegas is the end-all when it comes to betting on sports, at least, you know, legally. Not necessarily the case. I mean, the beauty of the legalization is these other states have, you know, different betting options. And in a lot of instances, guys, a lot more options than what Vegas offers, and a lot less conservative than Vegas. So I have crossed the Hoover Dam about a half dozen times already this summer to get down some bets on season win totals and whatnot at books that are just not available here in the state.
Yeah, got to do what you got to do. So just to put a bow on our conversation with conference futures that you were betting in the previous week, or maybe even a little bit longer than that, give us like the biggest bomb that you bet to win a conference championship that you think has a realistic shot to actually do so.
So I bet Tennessee in the SEC 100-1. Do I think Tennessee's going to win the SEC? No, but you're giving me what I perceive to be the clearly the second best team in the SEC East, and you're giving me 100-1 when I think it probably should be 40-1 or 50-1. Sure, why not? I'll take the Volunteers there. I'm pretty high on Tennessee with regards to not only that bet that I made, but I also bet over their season win total. I bet over 7. Still love 7.5, obviously. So if you can still find that, I think that's good. And you know, it starts with their quarterback, Hendon Hooker. I mean, you look at his touchdown interception ratio a year ago, 31-3. He's got a very offensive-minded coach, and also a coach not afraid to pad the stats. So I think if you can find Hendon Hooker to win the Heisman, again, this is a pizza bet, but I found as high as 80-1 at Westgate. I think that's worth you know, a little bit of a flyer there. So very high on the Volunteers, and high enough to bet him 100-1 to win the SEC.
Not that high, but another bet you made to win a conference. How about Air Force? Tell us why you're high on Air Force. You bet them 6-1 to win the Mountain West, and you bet them over their win total.
Yeah, so I mean, the most money I have down on an individual win total is Air Force. I took over 7.5. I mean, I made it 9. So that, I mean, a game and a half difference is pretty significant. I mean, I have Air Force favored in at least 10, if not 11, of their 12 games this year.
Ooh.
They are historically experienced for a service academy, 15 returning starters, when typically those service academies are among the bottom barrel when it comes to returning experience. So it's a lot of it has to do with that. And there's a lot of upheaval and change in the conference as far as the Mountain West. And, I mean, you're talking about a team that won 10 games a year ago. So I really like Air Force a lot this year, not only as a flyer to win the conference, but also, I mean, I bet over 8. I mean, I took over 7.5, but I bet over 8. That's how much I like the Falcons.
Okay.
Good information. Good breakdown. Other Heisman candidates you see out there, and other Heisman Trophy winning bets you made?
So I made 13 of them, and people are going to roll their eyes at that, but I made it where if any of these 13 guys win, I'll show a profit. I think the exception, I'm a break-even spot if Bryce Young repeats, and you know I'm not necessarily thinking that's going to be the case, but biggest bet I made was the favorite, C.J. Stroud. I think he puts up monster numbers on the best offense by far in college football. 3-1 is what I was able to find. You're really looking for some long shots. 300-1, Devin Leary, the quarterback for NC State. Again, I'm very high on NC State. Think they can win double-digit games and they can somehow beat Clemson. And he's up there. I'm not thinking he's going to win the war, but it wouldn't shock me if he's Kenny Pickett and he's sitting there, you know, in New York as a Heisman finalist. Sure, why not have a 300-1 ticket at that point? I did bet a defensive player. And I know it doesn't happen very often, if at all, but I think Will Anderson, the outstanding defensive end outside linebacker for Alabama, is by far the best player, offense or defense, in college football. I think he's a generational talent on the defense side of the ball. And if he has 17.5 sacks, 34.5 TFLs like he did a year ago, I think he's at least sitting there in New York. So 40-1, Will Anderson. And you can still find that out there in the market.
Yeah. And by the way, if he's having a great year, like right away, Brad, he will become part of the early national narrative, and that's huge for this award.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up. So they have a game, Alabama, week 2 against Texas. It'll be one of the most highly, you know, televised games of the year. And Texas's weakness on their team is the offensive line. So it wouldn't shock me. You had 8-10 million people tuning on that game week two. And if Will Anderson has 3-4 sacks in that game, he's going to shoot right to the top of the Heisman favorites board.
Reading Athlon Sports or Phil Steele, and maybe based on what you're hearing or you reading in other spots as well, how about a couple overrated, underrated teams based on your numbers or teams with a lot of hype?
Yeah, I mean, even though, you know, I have some positions on USC, I think, again, Chris Andrews' southpaw is a little too low on USC. I think USC and Texas are the two most overrated teams in the country. And I still think they're very improved this year. I'm not treating them like top 10 teams like the market is. So those would be two overrated teams. Underrated teams, again, I mentioned one just a bit ago. I think Tennessee's not getting enough respect in some of the market. And if we're looking at it, I'm talking contenders in Power 5 conferences. Utah is a team that I just don't think is getting properly priced. Over 8.5 wins for Utah is a team that I think is very underrated.
How does Kelly do it, LSU, year one?
Yeah, you know what? I'm very pessimistic on Kelly year one. I bet under 7, and that was a very early number I took, and not necessarily the best number because I turned right around and bet under 7.5 wins for LSU, mainly due to schedule. I mean, there are no layups, obviously, in the SEC West. I think there's a game in week one that's going to be much tougher than people expect. I bet Florida State plus 6.5 in that game. It's like 2.5, 3 now. Wouldn't be a bit surprised LSU loses week one in that game. Okay. And if that's the case, then I'm going to feel comfortable cashing that season win total.
We mentioned the top teams. For a power rating standpoint, it's the same teams at the bottom. New Mexico State, UMass, Connecticut, Akron's in there as well with your ratings. But you also, if you can tie this into line moves, and you are lined up on some of these bad teams week zero and week one.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, some of the biggest line moves in week zero, week one are actually on the Connecticut, the Massachusetts, the New Mexico States of the world. I have tickets on all three of those teams, even though they're my bottom three teams in the country. I think they're all improved. I like the coaching hires that all three of those teams have made. They went for experience. I think there's grown-ups in the room, and I like how they filled out their coaching staff. So, I mean, if you're looking for some big line moves, a couple of them involving these teams. I mean, New Mexico State, I bet plus 16.5 against Nevada, like 12.5 right now. Mm-hmm. Connecticut, still out there in the market. Here's one that's playable right now on most books. I like Connecticut plus 28 against Utah State. So, I mean, that's right there in week zero, a very playable bet right now.
Why do you like the Nebraska game under in Ireland to start week zero?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Number one, I've watched a couple of those Ireland games. It's kind of a high grass field if they're playing there at a Viva Stadium. We'll see what it's like there. Also, it's a conference game, very important conference game, so I think you get a little bit conservative play out of Northwestern Nebraska early. And obviously, you need travel trip. Anytime there's something like that, I'm going to go under.
All right. Brad will be on every Friday during the football season with his picks. Tell people what you're doing with Adam Chernoff and Covers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I talk about all these line moves. So Adam reached out to me and says, hey, how can we take advantage of, you know, getting people to, you know, some of these moves, you know, games and bets that I make before. So we're going to do a release show a couple times a week. One's going to be Monday morning, and we're going to go over some FBS games that I like. Basically, whatever's on the board at that time, bettable numbers. I'm going to give out some picks there. And also, I think this is going to be highly actionable. And I know you're not going to be able to get 5 G's down on these games, but FCS on Saturday mornings, we're going to do a release show then.
Okay. How many more bets do you think you have in you before the season actually starts?
Yeah, 50 or 60, I'm guessing. Keep in mind, I mean, I'm going to bet. I'll bet the board on the FCS once those games get released.
How many contests will you be in?
I'll definitely do Golden Nugget, and we'll see if there's anything other than that. Maybe I'll join Circa. I did the Willie Hill last year, which a huge overlay. I got crushed. I did the max entries and got crushed.
Okay. That was a big overlay. But all right, we're getting close, my friend. Week zero right around the corner. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Take
Great
care.
Job.
Very
right.
good stuff.
Over 200 bets.
Yeah, including some stuff that's still available right now, which is always key.
Yep.
Because the guy's been betting games since like May. So a lot of the stuff obviously has moved like you talk about. So.
Sure. Good point, too, about the games of the year. Everyone, that's very competitive market now. And everyone wants to do that.
I remember a couple of years ago, Paulie, when like the FanDuels of the world and DraftKings first came on board, that Houston-Oklahoma game.
Yes.
That was played. That was across the country, like anywhere between 14 and 27, I want to say. And it landed, of course, right in the middle.
There was an Alabama game. One book had a 6.5, same game. Alabama, 13.5.
Yeah.
Same game.
That's right.
Good stuff out there.
So
he had a good breakdown in his newsletter, too, if you want to check it out, bradpowersports.com.
Very good.
Meet Carl.
Sup?
Ever since he was a little boy, Carl dreamed of being baseball's greatest outfielder. There was only one problem. Carl, you can play to win with BetRivers.com, featuring award-winning customer service.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
You're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams? BetRivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, Pauly, top five Tuesday it is. You know, July 4th is about barbecue. It's about hot dogs.
Yes.
And a lot of it is about Major League Baseball, right? And growing up and watching the sport and falling in love with, like, the numbers and the teams and the players. Some of the best memories of baseball getting to this point. Some of these are very personal. I can run down some of the biggest memories in the sport with you as well coming up. But I will say honorable mention what the All-Star Game meant as a kid. Every single year. As
good
a
one.
9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid.
Appointment viewing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Huge ratings. Couldn't wait to see. We didn't have interleague play.
Oh, you want to have some fun. Look at what the ratings used to be for World Series.
Oh, man, it was...
Look at what the 99, the 91 World Series did.
It's like NFL playoff games
for
television ratings. Monstrous. I couldn't wait to watch Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn and Nolan Ryan all go at each other. It was great.
Baseball dominated.
So getting autographs as a kid was a really, really big deal. I got a couple. Went to card shows all the time. I remember when Ken Griffey Jr. was a rookie, we went to Milwaukee to watch the Mariners play the Brewers, and we were waiting there on the third base side. He was down on the tarp talking to probably four or five of us, and we were all asking for his autograph, and he said, no, I'll sign after the game. So my dad was cool enough to wait after the game, like 45 minutes. We were told where the Mariners were going to come out to the bus. We waited and waited and waited, and there's Ken Griffey Jr., who walks right by everybody and said, they lost that day. And he goes, nope, not signing any autographs today. Heartbroken as like a young kid, right? Did not sign that day. Killer. So the next year, we went back to watch the Mariners again, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go ask him and beg for his autograph again, so we went to a card show where Griffey was appearing. I saw like the advertisement like in the local Milwaukee paper, and like, oh my God, we got to go. Went, and lo and behold, got a Ken Griffey Jr. autograph that cost $25. But I still have it to this day.
There you go.
Did you ever seek that out when you were younger?
Yes, I would go to card shows all the time. I got Tony Oliva's autograph. He was signing there once. But card shows were huge in the 80s.
Oh, my God, they were so big.
Oh, the market was on fire.
Yes, it was.
What Griffey rookie cards were going for. And, late 80s, early 90s, it was great. I remember I got the Michael Jordan rookie. My mom went to the grocery store. I put in a box. Next thing you know, the thing's worth a couple grand. I had no idea.
You pulled it right out of a...
I got that 86 Fleer, Michael, when he's dunking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pulled it right out of a pack from the grocery store.
Yeah. There was only like less than 200 cards in the set. And you had the complete set. It was in the, if I would have had that mint, what it was worth now.
What did that peak at? Do you have any idea?
Oh, God. If it's mint, like a 10?
Like a,
rating?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You guys can look it up. I'm going to say 10,000.
Honestly, I'm completely out of my element nowadays because I don't do this anymore.
Huge,
but
huge amount.
I bet you that reached, I bet you that reached six figures at some point.
You might be right.
7,000 right now.
Huh. Mint, like 10 grade, 10 grade?
I'm surprised it's that low. Okay.
Probably was higher. I don't know.
I loved Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
He was my favorite player along with Ken Griffey Jr. But we went to go watch him play one time at the Metrodome. And you know how Ricky Henderson in the outfield would always do that snatch catch? He'd wait and wait and wait and then put up his glove at the last second and go like that.
Did I tell this story?
We were begging for that to happen.
He
did it the game that we watched him at.
No.
Oh, he did it.
Snap catch.
Did that. We were just going nuts as young kids. Yeah.
Barry Bonds did it too.
Yeah, that's right.
I tried that in high school. It broke my nose. I missed line drive.
Of course it did.
Yeah. I was laughing. The poor gal came out, the trainer. I'm laughing because I told the kid this might happen there's blood everywhere. I mean, I break my nose. I took a line drive to the mouth.
You tried to copy him.
Yeah, I
got blood everywhere. We all tried to showboat when we were younger.
Love that move.
Oh, it was so good.
Remember the guy for the Blue Jays with Devon White.
He used to catch
the ball like this.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm like, how could he do that?
Yeah, that was a bizarre technique.
Yeah,
he'd catch it
on his hip. Incredible.
Good observation. I was going back and forth with one of my really good young friends on the bus ride up there. I'm like, I know he's going to do it today. He's going to do it. And
snap
he's like, Mitch, don't do this to yourself.
Sure.
It's not going to happen.
I should have invoiced him for the hospital bill.
Here you go, Barry. Sign this one for me. went to a Cardinals game. Now, I wasn't a kid anymore, but in 1998, the summer of McGuire and Sosa, had to go and watch because McGuire was on that tear, and we're thinking, look, he could actually set the record this season by, getting more than 61 home runs. And we went to the Metrodome to watch an interleague game between the Cardinals and the Twins play. We got there probably 90 minutes to 2 hours in advance. 20,000 people that were there to watch batting practice. He's hitting them. We were sitting we had bad seats because it was sold out. We got him late. We're sitting upper deck left field. He's getting close to where we're sitting. I'm like, this is absolutely bonkers.
It was always it was a madhouse when they would play the Cubs, too. At Wrigley, he would hit the Budweiser sign and hit the buildings behind.
He hit his
Sheffield.
You can look this up. He hit his 36th home run of the year that game.
Was that Waveland? That's Waveland. What now?
He hit his 36th home run of the year the day that we're there. Yep.
Yep.
Number two would be collecting baseball cards with my brother and my friends. Again, that was the Billy Ripken card.
Fear
Billy Ripken, where I can't say it on the air, but what it said there.
The F-bomb.
Yeah, the F-bomb. And then face, I mean, that was huge in all the different ways they came.
That card was worth money.
Oh, that was awesome.
Uh-huh.
The Dale Murphy card where the jersey was reversed. Remember that? It was a huge error on the card. That was a big to-do. And then just trying to get as many Griffey Jr. rookies as possible. The upper deck card. That was the Holy Grail.
Hot item. Yes, it was.
And that just number one, growing up, my dad loved the sport. And, you know, he died a couple of years ago. And when he was 72, 73 years old, when he came out to visit the month before he passed away, we talked just hardcore baseball, and it was great. And because that trickled down to my two older brothers and then into me, and like their love of baseball really got me into it as well. So that's obviously as a young kid.
Yep.
It's a shame that I don't like the movie Field of Dreams. And I don't care.
I can't
for
believe it.
It
blows my mind. It's a swing and miss for you. And that surprises me. I think it's a good movie, and I thought that would really hit it, strike a chord there with the father-son relationship, which I didn't have. And that's why I don't have much of a list. Number one, I was a Cubs fan. So outside of 84 and 89, that was it. And the other thing was, by the seventh inning, the vodka and Busch Light would usually take over as he would pass out. But the 1990 ESPN doubleheader, no-hitter, Dave Stewart and Fernando Valenzuela.
That was so good.
Right? The 86 playoffs were nuts. The Mets and Astros and then the Red Sox and the Angels and the Donnie Moore game, and Henderson goes deep, and you get the, it was a great World Series as well. But the other thing was, too, tying into your relationship with your father, and same goes for Mike Palm, that when the Cubs finally won it, it's like, wait, a lot of my relatives or my dad, they passed away. They can't enjoy
they can't
it
can't enjoy
me.
It anymore.
It was the same thing in Boston with all the Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
Well, now it just got out of control because the Red Sox kept, you know, won several World Series. But when the Red Sox ended the drought and when the Cubs won ended the drought, it was so many stories of, I wish my dad or grandpa was here to see it because they suffered for so many years and now they exorcise the demons, but it was too late. And going back to the power and what baseball was like, the huge future tickets, I think 300-1 were available on both. But worst of first, the 1991 World Series, Twins and the Braves. But we all gathered around, watched every game. The home team won every game. Twins won in seven. Smoltz against Morris. Puckett with the crazy catch.
Oh,
Puckett
yeah.
with the home run. They deke out Lonnie Smith. He doesn't know where the ball is. Cost him the run and maybe the World Series. Ratings juggernaut. Ratings bonanza.
I remember
for that
so much
series.
About that and World Series.
Incredible World Series.
The 10 inning game, Jack Morris against John Smoltz, maybe the best pitch game there of all time in a big spot like
yes.
that, right?
Yes.
To me, and that's, I mean, when I was younger, I always liked the idea of going to a baseball game and it's going to be 9-7. We're going to see a grand slam. Give me 1-0 or 2-1, especially in a playoff game any day of the week. I think that's high drama, as good as it gets. And that game was a big reason why. The 87 World Series Cardinals-Royals, I believe.
Twins. I mean, that was 85.
85, sorry. 85 yeah. Royals-Cardinals. Humongous television ratings.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s and early 90s.
Dankinger.
But that's,
imagine if that happened today. It blows that call like
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
Well, like but that Saints-Rams NFC title game.
Yeah. It speaks to, like, then, small market. It didn't matter who played in the World Series. It was a World Series. Everybody watched. It was a big deal. And I always rooted for players in baseball over teams anyway. But you're right. When the Red Sox finally snapped the jinx and the same thing with the curse in Chicago, I mean, you couldn't help but feel good for people in those regions and their families and what they went through. I would actually say the 0-3 comeback, the 0-4 comeback by the Red Sox over the Yankees was actually better than winning the World Series. To do that down 3-0 to the Yankees, that team, your biggest rival, the best rival right, maybe in sports,
yeah.
to do it was so huge. And I can remember where I was, and I can a little bit, because I was so young, remember the reaction of the entire house when we were watching Dodgers A's. And
Gibson home run.
Gibson off
Eckersley. That's a good one.
We were probably like 12 people at this house watching, family members. I don't even know if one word was said. We were completely stunned and blown away.
Eckersley was nails.
He didn't lose games.
It was a feat to get a guy on against him.
Right.
And Gibson can't even walk.
He couldn't walk.
And he goes deep.
He's limping
yep.
around the bases. We're just like, ah. And that's that call by Buck, Jack Buck. I mean, I can't believe what it's just like, that's an all-timer.
Scully, too. You had Scully on the TV yep. and Buck on the radio.
That's right.
Number three, you feel cheated now. I mean, three is like, what you thought, that's what pissed me off. And when baseball started to lose even more people, you thought what you were watching was legitimate with Sosa and McGuire.
Yeah.
It was anything but.
Yep.
Anything but. And Sosa years later with the cork bat, too. I mean, how many times are you going to get caught here? What next?
Yeah, I'll date myself big time. In study hall in high school, I would grab the USA Today paper. I was the only one in the entire school who would grab it every single day and read the entire sports section, and specifically the baseball stuff, obviously, like during early portions of the spring, and just like getting the USA Today paper way before the internet was ever invented. We'd be camping. My dad would go buy the USA Today paper. Let's see what happened last night in baseball. Oh, the West Coast games, we have no idea. So we would have no clue who won the games the night before. Win some, lose some coming up next. You won't believe what happened at the World Series of Poker. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.